You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
I should hold you too long. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Beginning with verse number 31. Read a few of the following. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31, you will find these words. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny thou knowest me. And this morning, I just want to talk from the thought, Satan's hit list, Jesus prayer list. Satan's hit list, Jesus' prayer list. Today I am compelled to share with you that we serve a gracious God who has given us yet another chance despite the failures we've had in our lives. I'm grateful this morning that our failures in life does not equate to God being finished with us, and that failure does not mean finality. Our text today is tailored to teach us that Peter, in his moment of failure and mess up, did not hinder God from using him. Oftentimes we are only guarded as we guard our weaknesses and not our strengths. But Oswald Chambers says that an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Because oftentimes when we're riding high, we think we got it together. That's the moment that Satan wants to attack you. It would be naive of us to think that he only knows our weaknesses. He knows what you like too. He knows when you are puffed up with pride and arrogance. And because he knows that, he knows how to attack you. The scene of our text today is strange because the disciples are in the upper room and it seems to be a tense moment. The disciples are squabbling back and forth about who's the greatest among you. Jesus has announced his betrayer. They're trying to figure out who it is. But here's the good news about Jesus announcing his betrayer but not giving a name. It reveals to us that although he knows it's Judas and he knows what Judas will do, is that he will protect you to the end, even knowing the worst there is about you. The catch to the passage is that while Jesus is yet not announcing that it's Judas, he doesn't have to announce that it's Judas because Judas will eventually identify himself. Which is a word to some of us today because you've been trying to give people enough rope to let them hang themselves. But the harsh reality is you ain't got to give nobody no rope because if they're a Judas, eventually they'll find their own rope and hang themselves. You ain't got to set a trap. You ain't got to talk about them. You ain't got to do nothing, because eventually they will hang themselves. What's so amazing about this passage is that Jesus goes from dealing with Judas, he goes from dealing with the disciples, and he directs his attention to a man named Peter. Now, what you must understand about this man named Peter, Peter is Jesus' right-hand man. Peter is his ride or die. Peter walks with him. Peter talks with him. Peter loves being by Jesus' side. But Peter got some issues too. And Peter and his issues, Jesus says, listen, man, I need to tell you today that Satan desires you. Simon, Simon translates, he says, listen, man, I gotta be honest with you that there's been a conversation in heavenly realms about you. And while they're talking, I need you to know that the devil wants you. Now, it's amazing that he wants you, because when you read the passage, you must understand that verse 31 is in the plural. Jesus is talking about everybody. He wants everybody. He says, when it says you, it's plural. But by the time we get to verses 32 and 33, it's only talking about one person. He only wants the person that's at the forefront of the ministry, the person that's going to be leading the church, the person that's going to be preaching the gospel, the person that everybody's going to be looking to. He's after one particular individual. You are on his hit list, not because where you are right now, but you're on his hit list because of where I'm going to take you in the future. And the reality is, sometimes the devil don't want you for where you are right now, because you ain't doing much of nothing right now. But once I get through working on you and transforming you and transitioning you, is when he was going to want to take you out. And because that's when he's going to want to take you out, I have prayed for you. I must tell you today that while you think you can defeat the devil, that's a bold-faced lie. Most of you think that you can bind Satan. I don't know how you can bind Satan when Jesus and God have not bound Satan yet. You have somehow miraculously done what God has not done, and yet he's still running wild. So that lets you know right there, whatever stronghold you put on the devil has not been strong enough, because the truth of the matter is, if he has not been busy in your life, you know somebody's life he's been running wild in. And you are, my brothers and sisters, as good as you look today in the Lord's church this bright early Sunday morning, you are under surveillance by the devil. And I will be careful in the Lord's church, because the moment you say amen, the moment you lift your hands, the moment you shout hallelujah, he's looking to attack you, because he don't want you giving God no glory. He don't want you living your life for the Lord. That's why most people rather just stay stuck in sin, because you rather deal with sin than deal with the devil. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I want to tell you, baby, if you doing anything for the cause of Christ, the devil will be mad, both now in the present and in the future. It is interesting that Peter is under attack, but Jesus gives us a foreshadowing or foresight, forecast of his future. For his future is not final. The testimony of the passage is that although you might be struggling, trouble don't last always. Even when you fail, God knows how to put your life back together again. And I know it's bright and early, and I know you don't really want nobody in your business, but is there anybody here who could testify, I have failed, and he's putting my life back together again? Here is Pastor Twyman, the confession of the text, and I'll cut across the yard to see if we can get out of here. Peter reveals to us that his failure did not happen before Jesus. It happened after he met Jesus. You didn't see it. He's one of the 12. He's walked with Jesus. Jesus has healed his mother-in-law.
He's seen Jesus raise people, but yet his failure happened after he's been with Jesus. Is there anybody in here willing to admit today that my failure, I've had some real failure after I got saved? I know you don't want nobody in your business. You want everybody to think you've been not with Jesus your whole life. You ain't never cussed at nobody. You ain't never drank. You ain't never looked at nothing wrong. You ain't never thought nothing wrong. I know. Don't worry. I see you look straight at me. And if you look at me, won't nobody know that I'm really talking about you. We can have a one-on-one conversation. Because the truth of the matter is I didn't mess up a whole lot before I got saved. I really found out how bad I was once I got saved. And I kept doing crazy stuff after salvation. Don't act like you've been in church your whole life just being perfect from the pew, because the truth of the matter is some folk gonna die and go to hell straight from the pew after singing praises, after shouting hallelujah. But thanks be unto God that grace and mercy saved me, and I found out that I was a wretch undone, and he changed my life. I'm not perfect now, but I thank God that he ain't dealt with me according to my sin, because if he had, I'd be dead in my grave right now. But I'm alive on a Sunday morning to tell you, even though I messed up, he picked me up and turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. Is there anybody in here that can say I messed up even after I got saved? Satan's desire was to have Peter. First thing I want to show you is that this didn't catch Jesus by surprise. Jesus brought the issue to Peter. He says, Satan desires you. So I'm not caught off guard by the fact that you're desired by the devil. As a matter of fact, I'm not even caught off guard by the fact that you're going to fail. What I have done to ensure your success and that you will rise up from where you are, he says, I have prayed for you. Yeah, you got to watch the word, because he says, but I have prayed. Here's the reality of it, because if you caught it, I know it's early, but you would have shouted and lost your mind if you would have read it right. Verse number 32, he says, but I have prayed. What's interesting when he says, but I, the word but refutes everything that said before it. I know that Satan is after you, but I. I know Satan wants your health, but I. I know Satan wants your family, but I. I know Satan wants your money, but I know Satan wants your mind, but I. Is there anybody in here that can thank God that Jesus prayed, but I? That means no matter what Satan wanted before, once I prayed, I canceled the plan of the enemy, and now you don't have to worry about what it wanted. What you got to worry about is that I made a way of escape for you even before you entered into the problem. Is there anybody in the Lord's church that can thank God that he makes a way of escape even when you don't know you about to walk into a storm? I don't know about you, but when the storms of life are raging, I thank God that I found an anchor in Jesus who knows how to make a way of escape for me even before I get into my problem. Jesus in the passage reveals his providential foresight. And he lets Peter know, hey man, he's after you, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So Jesus says, he has desired. That word desired translate as a word called ateo, to ask to be given up of another power. Here's the catch. If Satan wanted you, he has to ask permission to get you. Which is really a shouting point this morning. Because that means whatever God allowed him to do, he only allowed him to do it because he knew you could get through it. Yeah. because he's not going to allow him to get to you if he knows he can take you out. And so you might as well give God glory that God won't allow you to go through nothing that he know that you can't already handle. There's no problem too big, no problem too small that God cannot get you through. So you need to thank God this morning that even though the Satan desires to have you, he desires to sift you, no matter what he desires to do against you, he can't do nothing without God's authority, because God has to give him permission. And because God had to give him permission to attack you, what God reveals to us is that Job ain't the only one I got a hedge of protection around. I got a hedge of protection around you too, baby, and you ought to be giving him some glory this morning that God has been protecting you from some attacks. He's been protecting you from some sickness. He's been protecting you. It ain't that the devil don't want you. It's that God won't let him have you how he wants you. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I thank God right now that he won't let me go. Is there anybody in here that says that God's hand is on me, and no matter what Satan wants to do to me, God won't let me go? The hand of the Lord is upon me. When you look at this thing, he says Satan desires to sift you as wheat. The word sift literally translates that Satan wants to inwardly agitate you. He wants to agitate you to the point of overthrowing or destroying one's faith. He wants you to curse God. He wants you to be mad at God. He wants you to deny God. Can I reveal to you why Satan don't like you? Here's the reason why Satan don't like you. It ain't because you dress good. It ain't because you sing good. It ain't because you know how to usher, pray, take an offering. It ain't none of that. Satan don't like you because he can't figure out why God would forgive you and not him. You a sinner, I sin. Why can't I get forgiven? And so because he cannot figure out why God would forgive you, he's going to do everything to make you turn on God. And so here he is literally trying to turn the faith of the disciples, the faith of Peter, against God. So he desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to attack then, now watch it, your character. Then he wants to attack your health, your integrity. He wants to attack your family, your faith, your finances, and everything else that he can get to, because he wants you to say, if God really loved me, why would he allow me to go through this? Wants the desire to sift you as wheat. But thanks be unto God that while Satan is busy, Jesus knows how to change the play in the middle of the game. Pastor Wyman, it's football season. And while the Lions is doing good, Clarence, I'm going to go ahead and give some credit to them while they're doing good. I've discovered while watching the game that the office of coordinator sits in the box and he looks out on the field to see what the defense is doing so that he can call the proper play so that they can score or progress the ball forward. Every now and then, the head coach calls a play, and from the box, the offensive coordinator will call down to the field and change the play because he sees something that the coach don't see. Try it one more time. The offensive coordinator sits up in the box and he will change the play that the coach called on the field because he sees something from the box that the coach can't see on the field. Y'all gonna miss me. I'm gonna try one more time for your Holy Ghost mind. Every now and then, Coach Jesus
from the offensive box has the call of play change in your life. Because you caught the wrong play. You didn't see the devil in his defense. So what he says is, wait a minute, change the play. Because what's getting ready to happen is you about to walk right into trouble. And so what he says is, I've got to go before you, and I've got to see something that you cannot see. Is there anybody in the Lord's church that can thank God that he sees something in your life that you don't see? Is there anybody in here that can thank God that he prayed for you? I know you love mama and daddy prayers, but I thanks be unto God that Jesus prayed for me, and he's still making intercession for me, because there's some plays going on in my life. I don't know why the devil is after me, but thanks be unto God, he knows how to change it. He caught an audible in the middle of the game. Wait a minute. I've noticed in years past, and mess with these Lions a little bit, Matthew Stafford got hit a whole lot because the offensive line didn't always protect him. And because the offensive line did not protect him, the quarterback was always at risk of getting hit and getting injured. And so what I've learned when watching this and the change of the play, the change of the guard, is not that he don't get hit. He just don't get hit as much. You missed it. All I'm trying to tell you is you might get saved and you might be in church. You still gonna get hit and you still gonna get hurt. It just won't be as much. Because once God prays for you, he knows how to put the right protection around you so that whatever the defense set out to do against you, it won't work always. Okay. Reveals you're on his hit list because the whole objective is get to the quarterback. If you get to the quarterback, then you can either cause the ball to fumble or you can stop the offense from moving forward. And that's all Satan was trying to do to the body of Christ. If I get to Peter, then I'll get to the one that has been declared and set forth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I could just get to the quarterback. Can I just pause, Macedonia, and talk to you about our pastor for a minute? You ought to pray for our pastor because he's the quarterback. And the devil wants to get to our quarterback. But we got to learn how to be a good defensive team. Baby, we got to learn how to be a good offensive line to protect the pastor. This ain't pastor's anniversary, but I just felt that the Holy Spirit gave it to me for free. So I'm going to go ahead and drop it on you, and then we'll move on about our business. You got to learn how to protect the quarterback. Peter did not know. And I got to go. He did not know that this prayer was his eternal lifeline. And so in the midst of everything, Jesus was praying because he knew Peter had significance in the earth. And so because I know you have significance in the earth, I'm going to pray for you even when you don't know it. Because I've searched the Bible, and I cannot find this particular prayer nowhere. So that means this conversation happened only where God and Jesus and maybe even the devil could hear it. Because Jesus ain't got no problem praying in front of the devil. It's only us that don't like praying in front of the enemy. Well, I'll say that for another sermon. It's a conversation happening. He don't know about it. It's his lifeline. So that means Jesus is working on your salvation and he's working on your soul even when you don't know it. Peter, here you are. You are being worked on. You are being tried by the devil. However, God says, I won't leave you nor forsake you. You're on his hit list, but I prayed for you. He desires to have you, but I've prayed for you. And so here's what really gets me, and I'm about ready now. Jesus saw the plan. He covered it by praying. Then he tells him, here it is, when thou art converted, go and strengthen your brother. Now, you must understand. Jesus tells him, when you're changed, go help somebody. Stop prematurely trying to help people when you ain't got it. You trying to tell people how to be a Christian, and you ain't learned how to be a Christian. He tells him, listen, man, go be converted first. And then you can help somebody else. Peter has a false sense of arrogance, a false sense of security, because he tells Jesus, hey, I'm willing to go with you to prison and to death. He says, I'm willing to go to the cell and the cemetery. Jesus said, boy, you don't even know what you're talking about, because the truth of the matter is, before this day is over, you're going to deny me three times. How in the world you going to help somebody when the truth of the matter is, when you get in trouble, you don't want to call on the Lord? Okay, you didn't catch it. Peter, three times you deny me. How you going to help somebody? How you going to fight for me and you denying me? I am amazed at church folk who always want to give a testimony, but they ain't been through no tests. Because whenever test time come, you get too sick to go to school. Don't look at me strange. I did it. I know. I was me, Tito. I promise I did it. Every time test came, I got a cold. Every time the test came, my stomach hurt. I didn't want to go to the test because I knew I really wasn't ready for the test. I just liked the idea of saying I knew the answers. Peter. You ain't really down for me. Not yet. You got a little bit more struggle to go through. You got a little bit more heartbreak to go through. You got a little bit more tears to cry. You got some more sorrows to endure before you're really ready for me. The harsh reality is we want to think that we're all really ready for Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, if we were all pressed, not all of us would be willing to go to sale or to the cemetery for the cause of Christ. I would be a liar if I sat here and said that I believe that all of us was ready to die for God. Now, you'll talk that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. He's the head of my life. Yeah, you talk that until it's put to the test. You talk that until Satan says, oh, let me see how you really feel about it. You talk that until trial hits your family. You talk that until trouble touches your heart. Is there anybody in here, you know folk that know how to talk it but don't know how to walk it? Beloved, he's under attack. And the truth of the matter is, he failed. Peter failed miserably. And the truth is, the devil loves it when we fail. That's the harsh reality of the text. Satan is happy when church folk fail. He's happy, Pastor Twyman, when the deacons can't do devotion together. He's happy when the choir can't sing together. He's happy when we can't worship in the same service together. The devil is happy when we say we love Jesus but hate our neighbor. He's happy. He's satisfied and he's excited. Because what he realizes is that every time we act ugly, we hurt the heart of God. Yes. How can you say you love the Lord whom you've never seen before and hate your brother whom you see every day? Satan gets happy when you hate people. He gets happy when you look at them and roll your eyes. He gets happy when you smack your teeth when they talk. He gets happy when you won't walk this way because they standing over there. You walk all the way around them. He gets happy. Happy, and because he's happy, you notice what happens. Satan gets so happy that he gets arrogant and he forgets who he's dealing with. Because what Satan did not realize in this whole arrogant passage while he was working and dealing with and trying to get to Peter is that he was still having to go through Jesus in order to get to Peter. He took his eyes off of Jesus because all he saw was Peter. And because he took his eyes off of Jesus and all he saw was Peter, what he did not realize is that Jesus was at work in Peter's life, and he had strategically put together a plan to deliver Peter out of the snare of the enemy. It's called prayer. Okay. Let me see. To pray in this passage literally means that Jesus covered Peter's past, his present, and his future. It was a present active word that never ended. So what he said is, while you are only desiring to sift him as wheat, what I've been doing is praying for him, not as Simon, the one who's unstable, but as Peter, the rock. Because he has now been changed from Simon to Peter. So notice the progression of the passage. He says, Simon, Simon, which is his old nature. That's who the devil is after. Because he can't do nothing with the rock, so he wants to kill you on unstable ground. But I've prayed for you, not just because you're Simon, not because you're the rock, but because I need you to make a smooth transition from being Simon the unstable one to Peter the rock. And sometimes in order to get you to where I need you to be, I've got to let you go through heartache and heartbreak so that you learn how to appreciate and properly testify about who I am and what I've done in your life. So Jesus says, now that I know Satan's agenda, now that I know he only really wants to attack your old nature, I know how to deal with that. I'll give you grace and mercy to say, no matter what you know about him, no matter what you're trying to attack about him, I've already covered that. Let me see it like this. Is there anybody in here that can testify, I used to be something? Okay, y'all gonna play. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a pimp. I used to be a prostitute. I used to be a liar. That's what Satan wants to attack, the old nature. But thanks be unto God that Jesus prayed for you and he knew what he wanted to attack, so he covered it with blood. And because he covered it with blood, it doesn't matter what the devil knows about you, because it's only about what God did for you that matters. Is there anybody in here that can shout, I'm thankful? All right. Deacon Trail, I'm going to cut across the field right here. There is some sovereign sympathy from the Savior. Okay. Jesus dies. He goes to the cross. He rises up. When he rises up, he says, hey, tell my disciples and Peter, meet me in Galilee. Peter had neglected him. Peter had rejected him. But when Jesus got up, he remembered him. Oh, God. He rejected Jesus before the cross. But after the cross, Jesus remembered him. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. All I'm saying is there anybody here can say, I thank God that before I knew about the cross, I had messed that thing up. But he remembered me. That's why he died on the cross for me. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know I messed that thing up a long time ago. I know I've been on Satan's hit list, but I thank God I made Jesus' prayer list. I'm out of here. Thank y'all for letting me share my little speech. Pastor Twyman, I'm reminded of a story I heard Dr. Frederick Sampson tell some years ago. He says, there was a case against humanity, and the devil was the prosecuting attorney. He showed up to court, and Jesus was the defense attorney. Satan waits for the judge to call court to order, calls the court to order, and the judge asks the devil, what would you like to present today? He says, I have all of the sin against humanity right here on paper. I get every lie, every stolen moment right here on paper. And Jesus says, well, is it okay if I see the evidence? He says, no, you can't see the evidence, because every time you see the evidence, you touch the evidence, some tricky stuff happens. He says, I am the defense attorney for humanity. I ought to be able to see the evidence. The judge tells him, you have to give him the evidence. He touches the evidence, and Jesus looks at the evidence. He says, I don't see nothing on the paper. And the devil said, I knew it. I knew you always up to some strange and some tricky stuff. Every time something going my way, you somehow change it. I knew you was going to do it. The judge says, well, Jesus, what do you say? He says, I say we let them go free. I see no reason that they should suffer. I see no reason that they should be marked as guilty. And the devil says, wait, I knew he was going to do something tricky. That's why I brought a second copy. Pulled out the second copy and says, look, I got the evidence. Jesus said, wait, I'm still the defense attorney. I have the right to examine all evidence. Let me see it. He says, no, because every time I let you see it, something bad happens. And I got humanity right where I want them. They're sinners. They ought to go to hell. Jesus says, but I got the right to see the evidence. The judge makes him hand over the evidence. He touches the evidence. And Jesus says, yet again, I don't see nothing. The devil gets mad. He says, God, do you see that he keeps playing tricks right here? I gave him the evidence. I had it written. Now I took the time for all of my life, all of eternity, to write out sin myself, and yet it's missing again. He's contaminating the evidence. Judge says, hey, listen, I can't say that he's contaminated evidence. I saw him. He put it in his hands. He doesn't see anything. When he hands it to me, I don't see anything either. So Jesus, what's your recommendation to the court? He says, my recommendation to the court is that you let him go free. Satan gets mad. Okay, what's my next move? Judge asks him, hey, do you have a witness? No, I ain't got no witness. He asks Jesus, do you have a witness? Say, yeah, I got a witness. He says, there's a prophet by the name of Isaiah. Isaiah, will you please be my witness? Isaiah gets sworn in. Isaiah, do you have anything that you can contribute to this case? Isaiah says, yeah, I do. Though their sins be as scarlet, he'll wash them whiter than snow. He says, Your Honor, if you look at the paper, it's white because it's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all I want to tell you today is that your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did for you. Is there anybody in the Lord's church that can testify that one Friday on a hill called Calvary, you had a lie of sin? Satan had your back against the wall. Satan knew that you was in trouble. Satan knew he had the best of you. But what he didn't realize was that Jesus was a good defense attorney, because a good defense attorney knows it's not about defending you. It's about presenting the proper evidence. And the proper evidence is that I'm right even when they're wrong. Is there anybody in here that can shout, I thank God that Jesus is right even when I'm wrong? And I know I've been covered. Why do you know that you've been covered? Because one Friday he died on the cross. The blood dripped from his brow. One Friday between two thieves. One Friday between his mother on earth and his father in heaven. Jesus took my place, and the blood of Jesus that dripped from his brow covered every last one of my sins. Yes, I'm on Satan's hit list. Yes, he wants to destroy me. Yes, he wants you. But you ought to celebrate that Jesus died
died in your place. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, all day and night Saturday. But the Bible says it was early Sunday morning that he rose with all power in his hand. It was early Sunday morning that he rose with our freedom. It was early Sunday morning that he set us free. Is there anybody here that can shout, I've been set free by the power of God? I know what it looks like right now. I know you're under attack, but thanks be unto God, the trouble don't last always. Is there anybody here that can shout, it don't last? Is there anybody in here that can shout, it only lasts for a little while? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hold on just a little while longer, for the Lord won't leave you. He'll keep his hand on you. Is there anybody in here that can shout, I know his hand is on me. I know he's protecting me. I know he's keeping me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because Jesus is with me. Is there anybody here that can shout, he's with me? He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Anybody here belong to the Lord? Anybody here can say, I'm his and he's mine? It don't matter what you know about me. It don't matter what Satan gonna do to me, because God knows how to pick me up, clean me up, and start me over again. I thank God for one more chance to enter the Lord's church, to praise his holy name, to give him glory. I know I'm under attack, but I thank be unto God that for every attack, he's made a way of escape. Won't he do it? Won't he bring you out? Won't he do it? Won't he see you through? If you know he will, say yeah. Say yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.